from labor to rest. How many of you just get weary sometimes? Amen? We just get weary. This weekend we celebrate Labor Day, and for a lot of people, Labor Day means a long weekend. Amen. It means a long weekend. Maybe it means family gatherings. Maybe it's a barbecue. Maybe you're going on a camping trip. Maybe some are not here today because of one of these things. Maybe it's just simply an extra day off from work. That's good too. But church, the reason we celebrate Labor Day is to recognize the dignity and the importance of work. Do you know that the Bible can get a little bit pointed? A little bit blunt? The Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. That's what it says. But we are being inundated in our culture with people that don't want to work, but they still want to eat, and they still want all the benefits, and they still want all of the things that the workers provide. That's why socialism is becoming so popular today, because it promises, I don't have to work, but everything's going to come. Well, somebody has to pay for that. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30. If you want to turn there and stand to your feet, you won't be standing very long. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Just stand for the reading of God's Word, just to honor Him. Jesus speaking here, and He says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Father God, we just simply come before You today, this Labor Day, and we say, Lord, give us rest. Lord, we cast our cares on You. We lay it down. We take Your yoke, and Lord, today we pray that we would learn from You. And Lord, we thank You for it. I thank You that this is talking about not only physical labor, but spiritual battle. Lord, we lay it at Your feet today. We give You all the praise. I pray that lives will be changed today, not because of anything I've said, but because of what You've spoke through me today, through Your Word and through Your Spirit. God, set us free. Let lives be changed for eternity because of Your Word going forth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. How many of you realize today that God established work before sin ever even entered the world? Genesis chapter 2, in fact, in verse 15, the Bible says this, then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to help, to tend and to keep it. Adam had a job. He had to cultivate the garden. He had to do those kinds of things. But because of sin, work became harder. Adam had to work. He had work to do before there was even a curse upon the earth. So work isn't the problem. Work isn't the problem. My dad told me a long, long time ago, he said, son, he said, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. I said, okay, great. He said, you need to find a job that you can enjoy and that you like to do, because you're going to do that for almost all of the rest of your life. And I took that to heart, and I did. I from a very, very, very early age, I knew that I was going to work in the woods. I knew I was going to be a log truck driver, or I was going to be a logger. At some level, I was going to work in the woods, and I have. And I can tell you that I can't count five times on my hand where I ever went to bed dreading going to work the next morning, because I've always enjoyed my job. I enjoyed working. I got to see the sunrise every morning, and most days I got to see the sunset before I ever got home. Got to have a picnic lunch in the woods. I mean, how you don't get any better than that. See all the little animals. But because of sin, work became harder. Genesis 3 and 17 says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Most people understand what that's saying. Work can be rewarding, but work can also be exhausting. Some of you have worked physically hard all of your life in our culture, in our area, in the sawmills, in the woods, in the areas that we find, whether it's ranching or whatever it might be. It's hard work. It's laborious work. It's fighting fire is dangerous work. But we understand it can be exhausting, and we work hard. And some of you have spent years building businesses, and some have worked long hours to provide for your families. Some have spent decades taking care of children. Some have worked in offices. Some of you have worked outside. Some have worked with their hands. Some use their mind for work. Some of you are retired. Kinda. Some of you are retired, but here's something that you probably discovered. Retirement doesn't necessarily mean you stop working. How many retired folks we got in here today? How many of you still work like a rented mule, man? It's like, what in the world? Isn't that amazing? Doesn't mean you stop working. There's always something that needs fixed. There's always something that needs cleaned. There's always somebody who needs some help. There's always another project just around the corner. Sometimes we laugh about how tired we get. But there's a deeper kind of tiredness than physical exhaustion. You can sleep 8 hours and still wake up tired. You can go on vacation and come home wore out, tired. You can sit in your favorite chair and still have a weary heart. Because there's a difference between being tired in your body and being tired in your soul. That's where the words of Jesus become real and become precious to us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's what Jesus says. Let me tell you what he doesn't say. Because I think what he doesn't say is as important as what he does say. What he doesn't say is try harder. He doesn't say, well, clean yourself up. He doesn't say, get your life together. He says, come to me with all your mess. I always think about the prodigal son in these kinds of moments, because the prodigal son didn't stop at a truck wash and get all cleaned up before he came home. He came home covered in the pig slop that he was just in down there in that faraway land when he came to himself, like the Bible says. He didn't go get all cleaned up. But it's interesting what the father did when he got home. Because what the father did is the father didn't say, now get yourself in that house and get yourself cleaned up. The father said, bring me a robe. And he took that robe and he put that robe over his son and covered his mess. He covered the mess that the prodigal. He said, put some shoes on his feet. Get him up off the dirt. Put a ring on his hand, a signet ring, a ring that says, hey, you're part of the family. Even though he didn't even feel like he could ever become or belong a part of the family, the father said, listen, you're always going to be my son. His inheritance, he squandered. But his sonship stayed intact. I think that's important. I think that's vital for us to grab a hold of here this morning. Jesus says, come to me. And I want you to consider this journey this morning as I go through this from labor to rest, because Jesus begins by saying, come to me, all who labor, every one of you who labor, come to me. This word carries the idea of becoming weary. It carries the idea of working hard and of struggling and of literally being... How many of you have ever just been exhausted? You're just exhausted. You're just tuckered. I mean, you don't even... How am I ever going to rest? I'm exhausted. I remember one time I was driving truck, and this was before I got saved. Just putting that out there. This was before Jesus. And I might have had a rather rambunctious weekend. Some of you are getting it. But I still had a job to do. And so I went to my job as a truck driver, and I got in my truck, which I probably should not have been in, and I took off for Chemult over on Highway 97 to haul chips over to Coos Bay over on the coast. And when I got to Diamond Lake up Highway 230 up above Prospect in Union Creek, and if you're familiar with that, where 230 and 138 come together, there's a stop sign of all things. And it was in the middle of the night, and I was exhausted from my weekend. And so I thought, I'm just going to rest for a moment. I'm just going to stop right here and rest for a moment before I go on. And I set the brakes on the truck, and it was like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I set the brakes on the truck, and when I woke up, it was daylight, and I'm still sitting in the middle of the road at a stop sign. Yeah. I was exhausted, among other things. But that's the kind of stuff that happens. Jesus says, listen, come to me. He understood the human condition. He knew what it meant, and he knows what it means for people to get tired. And he saw the people carrying burdens. He saw the sick. He saw the broken. He saw families that were grieving. He saw people that were struggling with sin. And he saw people who were religiously exhausted from trying to keep hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were imposing upon them. If you want to be religious, you got to do all of this stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of... How exhausting is that? And Jesus says, come to me. There's something comforting about knowing that Jesus understands your weariness. He understands your weariness. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus understands. He knows what you're going through. He understands when you're tired. He understands when you're hurting. He understands when you're carrying something that you don't even know how to explain. What are you going through? I don't know. I just know it's heavy. He understands that. He understands when you're trying to be strong for everybody else. Hello. He understands that. He understands the father that is worried about his children, and he understands the mother who's carrying 1,000 concerns, and he understands the person who has worked hard all of their life and still wonders if they're going to be okay. Have I made the right financial choices? Have I made good financial decisions? Do I have enough to carry me through? He understands that. Hey, he even understands the person that comes to church with a smile on your face while carrying a burden in your heart. He understands that. There's something else, though, that we need to understand this morning. Sometimes the burden we carry isn't simply the burden of life. Sin creates a burden that we cannot carry. Jesus said, All you who labor and are heavy laden, there are burdens that we are never designed to carry. And one of those burdens is the guilt and the condemnation of sin. David even understood this in the Old Testament in Psalm 38. In verse 4, he said, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a mighty flood. They're too much for me to bear." That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Redeemer. It's what sin does. First of all, sin can seem small, but eventually what we thought we could control begins to control us. And here's the problem. We cannot work your way out of sin. You can't work your way out of sin. You can try to be a better person. You can even become religious. You can attend church. You can give your money. You can volunteer. You can try harder. But none of these things can remove sin. Remember the old sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Man, what a song. See, the problem isn't that we haven't worked hard enough. The problem is that sin has created a debt we cannot pay. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That levels the playing field. Everybody has sinned. Everybody. There's nobody that hasn't. Even the tiniest baby has a sin nature. How many of you taught your children how to say no? Isn't that amazing? Don't you wish that they would learn other things as easily as they learn to say no? Look, I mean a 25, 30 pounder, look right in the face of a 200 pound dad and say, "No!" Rut-row. Notice the word in this verse of Scripture. It's three little letters. It's A-L-L. Not some. All. I remember years ago, I was doing a message and I came to this word. It may have even been in this very verse of Scripture. And I thought, I wonder what the word all really means biblically. And so I began to study and to chase it around through Scripture. And you know what I found out about the word all? I'll do the preaching, all right? It means all. The sum total of. It means all. A-L-L. All. So all, not some, but all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have fallen short. The preacher has fallen short. The businessman has fallen short. The logger has fallen short. The cattle rancher, the office manager, all have fallen short. The retiree has fallen short. The young person has fallen short. Even the church members have fallen short. We've all sinned. The Bible tells us in verse 23 of chapter 6 in Romans, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But there's, how many of you know, with bad news comes good news? Thank God the verse doesn't end there. Because the good news is at the end of the verse. But the gift of God. The gift. How many of you have to buy your gifts? You don't have to buy a gift. A gift is given to you. A gift comes to you free of charge. I don't give you a gift and say, "Now you owe me $25. That's ridiculous. No, gifts are given to us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! Well, four of us. Pretty happy about that. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. And that brings us to the greatest invitation that's ever been given. Jesus invites the weary to come to Him. You're weary, you're burdened, you got all this pressure. Look again at Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come to me." I know I said a lot of this same kind of stuff last Sunday, but it still rings true this Sunday. Maybe you didn't get it last Sunday. Hear it today. Come to me. They may be the sweetest words in the Bible. And I want you to understand, he says, come, not fix yourself. Not make yourself worthy, not prove yourself. See, isn't it interesting that the prodigal son didn't have to prove himself? He didn't have to prove himself. He didn't have to work harder. Just come. Just come home. The Bible said he came to himself in his mess. Think about the people that Jesus invited. He invited the broken. He invited sinners. How many of you know the religious people freaked out about that? Because they didn't understand that they were sinners too. But they categorize their sin. And sin, at the end of the day, sin simply means to miss the mark. So whether you kill somebody, and I'm not advocating that, or if you steal penny bubblegum, sin is sin. And both of those will keep you out of heaven. And Jesus has still got the answer for both of those. He says, come to me. Don't fix yourself. You don't have to do that. Don't try and make yourself worthy. Don't try and prove yourself. Don't work harder. Just come. Think about these people, the sinners. He even invited Matthew or Levi in those days. He was a tax collector. You want to talk about somebody that nobody liked? You want to talk about the hated? It was the tax collector. Because listen, they weren't just taking what you owed. They were taking all they could get. They would self-impose tax money. And you had to pay it. He invited the tax collectors. He invited people with terrible reputations. This might ring true for some of us. He even invited people who made horrible decisions. Anybody ever make a bad decision? We're in the right crowd this morning. He even invited people who failed. He invited people who failed. He invited people who were hurting. He invited people who were searching. And all he says, he still says this, come to me. Come to me. He said, come. The Pharisees said, do. Don't miss that. Jesus said, come. The Pharisees said, do. Do what? Do all these things. Do this, do that. They tried to make people follow Moses and follow all the traditions, but true salvation is only found in the person of Jesus Christ, and to come to Him means to trust Him. You can't fulfill enough rules and regulations to get to heaven. All you can do is trust Jesus. And this invitation is open to all who are exhausted and all who are burdened and all who are carrying weight that doesn't belong to them. And it's exactly how the people felt under the yoke of Pharisaical legalism. Shake it off. Shake off those heavy hands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Shake it off. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what else it says? It says that a broken spirit dries up the bone. To come to Him means to trust Him, because salvation is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's something beautiful. More stuff that Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, come to church. He said, come to me. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm giving an excuse. Church is important. Church is important. The Word of God is important. Christian fellowship is important. It's so important that it says in the Bible, don't forsake the fellowshipping together. It's talking about coming to church. It's talking about joining together. But ultimately, Christianity isn't about this building. It isn't about a denomination. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ. And the burden that you're carrying, he says, come to me, lay it at my feet, I'll give you rest. And he continues, and he said, I will give you rest. That's a promise. That is a promise. Notice what that Jesus isn't merely talking about taking a nap. How many of you want a nap right about now? Well, he's not talking about just taking a nap. He's talking about something much deeper than just shutting your eyes and going to sleep, because verse 29 says, and you will find rest for your soul. How many of you know when you sleep, sometimes your mind is just... How many of you enjoyed the thunder last night and woke you up? It's hard to sleep through that. You will find rest for your soul. Augustine famously expressed the truth that our hearts remain restless until they find their rest in God. Our heart remains restless until we find rest in God. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage, because there's a God-shaped emptiness inside every person that only God can fill. You can't fill it with drugs. You can't fill it with alcohol. You can't fill it with all kind of other stuff. Only God will fit in that void. It's only God. And Jesus said that if you let God in, you'll find rest for your soul. It doesn't mean that as a Christian we don't ever experience difficulty, because you will. That too is something that made the pages of Scripture. He said the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So don't think this morning that just because you got saved all your troubles are over. No, wrong answer. It doesn't mean that you'll never experience difficulty. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get tired. It does mean, however, that underneath all of life's circumstance, there can be a peace that the world can't manufacture. Listen to what Philippians 4 and 7 says. Philippians 4 and 7 says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Listen, people in the world can't understand how Christian people can go through trauma and go through the trials of life and go through all these things and still have peace and joy in their heart. Now, it doesn't mean we don't grieve when we lose a loved one. It doesn't mean that we don't have days where we wonder what in the world's going on. But at the end of the day, down deep inside, I can have peace because I know that God's in control. I know that everything that comes to me has to go by Him first. Everything has to go by Him. The peace of God. Jesus experienced that. That's why He was asleep in the bow of the boat when the sea was just going crazy and the disciples were freaking out. What in the world are you doing, man? You're sleeping up there and we're about to sink. Jesus is like, I don't think we are. He had peace. He doesn't promise life without storms. And the church said, amen. He didn't promise life without storm. He promises, however, His presence in the storm. Jesus was in the boat. The disciples didn't recognize that as long as Jesus is in the boat, everything's going to be okay. It's like watching a movie on TV. Anybody ever watch Hallmark movies? Bob, put your hand down. Good Lord. In the first 5 minutes of a Hallmark movie, I can tell you who's going to get married. You just know it. Long lost boyfriend from You know. And they always leave. Because it always, and then they always come back. It's so wonderful. You know what's going to happen. Those disciples knew that Jesus was in the boat, and when Jesus is in the boat, it don't make a difference because he's a water walker. If it gets too bad, he just get out and walk. And if they wanted to, they'd get out and walk with him. Peace that surpasses understanding. Here's what I really want for you to get a hold of today. Jesus has already done the work that you and I could never do. He's already done the work. We spend our life working. We work to earn money. We work to provide. We work to accomplish. We work to succeed. And there's nothing wrong with good, honest, hard work. I advocate for that. But here's where we make a terrible spiritual mistake. Sometimes we try to work our way into the favor of God, which you'll never do. You cannot work your way into God's favor. The gospel says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is, again, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation isn't something you accomplish. Salvation is something you receive. It's the gift. "For by grace you've been saved, not of yourselves." It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of any of that. You don't work for a gift, you receive a gift. The reason salvation can be a gift to us is because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. The work necessary for your redemption had been accomplished. Jesus did what you and I could never, ever do. I love that there were two other people on that hill that day. One over here running his mouth and the other one telling the other one to shut up. And this one over here said to Jesus, "Hey, remember me today. Remember me." Listen, that guy was on the cross because he deserved it. It's us. That's us. He was on that cross that day because of what he had done. And yet, he says to Jesus, "Hey, remember me." And Jesus makes a declaration to him in that moment. He said, "Today." That guy hadn't done, I mean, this, if nothing ever has convinced you before that you can't add to, you can't do anything for your salvation, let this be a stark reminder. That guy didn't get down off the cross and go do some stuff. That guy didn't get down off the cross and go get baptized. That guy didn't get down off the cross and go put money in the offering. That guy didn't get down off the cross and go do some kind of community project. That guy didn't get off the cross and go do anything all. He died nailed to that cross. But that Jesus said that day, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And he gets to the I love throwing this in. This it probably didn't really happen, but it could have. When he got to the pearly gates and Peter was there, and Peter says, "Well, what is it that qualifies you to come in here? Did you do this? Did you get baptized? Did you evangelize? Were you faithful in the tithe?" And the guy says, "I never did any of that." "Well, what qualifies you then to come into heaven?" He said, "I really don't know. All I know is the guy on the middle cross said I could come." The man on the middle, that was Jesus, and he said I could come. And Peter just went, swung that gate open, Now, I don't know that that's exactly how it happened, but that's how I'm preaching it, and I got the microphone. Amen. That's how it happened for those of you on the internet. That's how it happened. It's true. It doesn't matter what you've done. It is a free gift. You don't work for it. You just receive it. And that's why. Because Jesus paid the price. The work necessary had been accomplished. Jesus did it. He died the death that you and I deserved. He bore our sins. He shed His blood. He paid our debt. He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And before Christ, you and I carry our sin. After Christ, Christ carries us. Man, that ought to make you happy. Me and Dee are happy. Woo! That's why Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Do you even know what a yoke is? I'm not talking about chickens. And I'm not talking about eggs. I'm talking about a yoke. I'm talking about a big chunk of wood that goes across the neck of a oxen or a some kind of a horse or a mule or something like that, and it has this collar that goes around, and these chains or big leather straps are hooked to it, and there's a wagon back there, and the oxen begin to lean in to that yoke and begin to drag that burden down the road. Jesus doesn't say, throw off the yoke. He says, take my yoke. His yoke's way different. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And one of the greatest truths, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, one of the greatest truths of the Christian life is that I don't have to carry everything. I don't have to carry everything. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. What a promise. Not some of your care. This little word shows up again. All your cares. Cast all your care on Him. Some of you are carrying things that God never asked you to carry. Hello? Some of us are carrying those kinds of things. We carry burdens that belong at the feet of Jesus. Labor Day reminds us that the work eventually ends, but Scripture gives you and I as believers an incredible promise that concerns the labor of this life. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Kathy, you can come. Revelation says this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works follow them. Their works follow them. One day, if you know Christ, this earthly labor is going to be finished. And maybe you've been sitting in church for years. You've heard the gospel. You've believed the facts about Jesus Christ. But you never surrendered your life to Him. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today Jesus is saying to you, come. Maybe you're watching today by way of the internet, and Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you even through electronics. And He's saying to you this morning, come. You know, I don't usually say stuff like this, but I think it's fitting here this morning. You might be sitting behind that camera this morning in your house because you're so burdened down with life that you can't even get out of your house. To you, Jesus is saying, come. Step out and come. Take my yoke on you. My burden is light. He says, come. He's not inviting you to become more religious. Hello? He's not inviting you to become more religious. He's inviting you to come into a relationship with Him. He's inviting us to receive forgiveness. Oh, you don't know what I've done, preacher. No, I don't, but Jesus does. And for what you've done and what I've done, He died on the cross. He shed His blood for you and for me. Isn't it amazing grace? There's more grace in one drop of Jesus' blood than all the sin that you could come up with. He's inviting you and I to receive forgiveness. He's inviting you and I to receive grace. He's inviting you and I to receive today eternal life. Want me to qualify it for you? Okay, I will. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a quotation and a period at the end of that statement. That means you don't add anything to it. That means you don't have anything else. It's done. That's the end. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart and you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying, and I'm done preaching. Today, the burden of sin can be lifted off of your life today, in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. And today, if you're here and you say, preacher, I need to accept Jesus. I want to lay my burden down. I want to cast all of my cares on You. If you're here today and you say, preacher, that's me, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now in this place. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. If you're watching by way of the internet this morning, just type a little note there and send it in. And we're going to continue. We're going to pray in just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, pastor, I've been carrying a burden. I've been carrying a weight that's not mine to carry. And today I want to recommit and rededicate my life. I want to be born again today. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, preacher, that's me. I see you, sir. I see you. Anybody else? Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come. You know I'm going to. I'm going to ask you to come. Come on. Come on, you raised your hand. Get up and come right now. Come on. Come on.
Come to me, you weary one.
Come on.
And I will give you rest.
Come on. Hallelujah.
I will give you rest.
Come on. Come on.
Come to me, you weary one. And I will give you rest.
Okay.
I will give you
rest. It's okay.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take me upon you.
Thank you, Lord.
I will give you.
Watching this morning by way of the internet, I want you to join with us in this prayer. You can be just as saved sitting in your living room as you can at this altar. So pray with us. Say, dear Lord, I thank you. You never gave up. You never left me. You saw everything I've done. And yet, you love me. You redeemed me. You sanctify me. And you set me apart. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wash me in your blood. And forgive me. I promise to serve you from this day forward for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't it? You're sick and tired of being tired. Amen. Be refreshed in the Lord. Just be refreshed in the Lord. Holy Spirit, refresh her right now. Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your grace, for your love and for your mercy. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for every person today watching by way of the internet. And I pray, God, that you'd be with them today in a special way. I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that they're loved and they're appreciated. God, that you are mindful of them, that you see them right where they are. God, I pray you bring us back together tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord, I pray that you be with us today. Be with all the families that are gathering, those that are traveling. Watch over them and keep them safe. And bring them back to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today. God bless you and God go with you.